Well, welcome to another Data Centric podcast. I'm Steve McDowell, and I'm here, with my partner in crime, Matt Kimball. Hey, Matt.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, quick question before we get going, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that whenever we talk, you're always perpetually smirking at me?
What are we talking about this week, Matt?
We are talking about a lot of things. So, you know, one of the things that we get feedback from a lot on our podcasts, mm-hmm. and the podcasts that seem to do really well are around kind of digital transformation, data management, and how companies, that are going through that transition, you know, they like to hear more and more about, you know, organizations that have experience in that space, to kind of get different perspectives. So today, we were lucky enough to get the CEO at LatentView. His name is, Rajan, and I'm terrible at names. I'm sorry, but Rajan Sethuraman. Did I get it right, Rajan?
You did, Peter. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. I'm so bad. I screw up my own last name. But Rajan is the CEO, as I said, at LatentView, and, his company is a consulting services company that works with a lot of companies that are either cloud native, you kind of grew up in the cloud, or are trying to adopt a more cloud native approach to their business. A lot of people would think of as digital transformation projects or like projects. That's exactly where Rajan spends his time, him and his team. So Rajan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Matt. Thanks for having me on this.
Yeah. Man, what a great topic, because digital transformation, it drives the IT agenda, right? I mean, we build systems and build out infrastructure, right, largely to support these sorts of projects. Hey, Rajan, so tell us, you know, before we start, what is LatentView and what do you guys do?
Yeah, we are what we call a pure play analytics service provider. We've been around for 15 years now, and pretty much all the work that we do is in the realm of data analytics. But it goes all the way from helping companies think through the data architecture and the data platform requirements, all the way to building advanced analytics model that help with the prediction and prescription, and then also getting all of that analytics in the hands of the end users, right, who need to make decisions based on all of that stuff. So that's what we do.
So, you know, Rajan, you, as we've spoken before, you've talked about the fact that your company has worked with a lot of, we'll call them, born the cloud companies, companies that have been very data driven from the outset. So if you're starting, if that is your kind of guiding principle from day one, you know, data management becomes, it's so important that it becomes kind of in your DNA, right? For companies that were not born in the cloud, that you've interacted with, that are now trying to become more data centric and more guided by data, you know, what are some of the things that you as an organization, what are some of the common things you see, challenges these companies face, and what does a LatentView do to help those companies kind of get their arms around that challenge?
Sure. Yeah, there are a few things that stand out, right, in this regard. Most organizations have a reasonable data foundation. Even if you take traditional brick and mortar companies who are not digital native, even they have their ERP and transaction processing systems and operation systems. So it's not that they are new to data. It's just that the data might have been used to drive decision making in a set fashion, right? Typically, data that is well understood, which is structured, more about the operations and the financial aspects and the supply chain of the company and so on, right? What's happening in recent times, though, with more and more organizations going either direct to consumer or even adopting, say, subscription models, there is a huge amount of data. There's a plethora of data about the consumer and about the market and the competition that is coming in. It's almost like the proverbial drinking from the fire hose kind of a scenario. Right? There's so much of data that is pouring in that it makes sense for them to think about new interesting ways by which they can receive the data, organize it, and consume it, right, in a manner that helps them to make sense of what the consumers are looking for, what are our products and services, and how well are they meeting those requirements, and then what can they do, right, in order to enhance the products and services that they put in front of the consumer. At the end of the day, I mean, all organizations strive to maximize the amount of value that they're able to create for their customers, because that's what helps create value for the organizations as well. And data is increasingly emerging as the single biggest differentiator, right, for many organizations, whether it's digital native companies or whether it is traditional organizations. They are seeing how more understanding of their consumers, their employees, their stakeholders, their ecosystems can help them make better decisions. So in some sense, that's really what organizations are trying to do. So from a challenge perspective, I think just figuring out what kind of decisions they want to make and what kind of adjustments they want to make to the operating model, and then working from there backwards to then look at what kind of systems do they want to have in place, the decision-making mechanism, and therefore what data is needed to support all of that. That could be a good approach that organizations can look at. More often than not, organizations also tend to look at data as a be-all and end-all, right? And that doesn't help. You do need to have a fairly clear idea of what is my end goal and end purpose and what kind of decisions am I looking to make, and then work backwards to fix things, right, within the data ecosystem. And that, I feel, is a better approach. Right? From a summary perspective, I would say that that's really what the biggest challenge is, right, that the organizations need to get right.
Let me ask this question. And so every organization, I mean, they're going to have different goals for their data and different kinds of data, right? But when you look across the enterprises that you help, right, are there certain commonalities, things that every organization approaching their data needs to deal with? Or is each one very distinct?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there are definitely commonalities, and the commonalities are starting to increasingly converge as data as a way to better understand different constituents, right, within the organization context. There is, of course, the consumers, because organizations exist to serve their consumers, right, their clients. So that's a very, very important constituent body. But organizations also need to better understand their employees. They need to better understand their supplier and partner ecosystem. If you're talking about, say, the healthcare industry or life sciences, they need to better understand patients. And if you look at the government setup, right, a public service company, they need to better understand citizens, right, in terms of providing citizen services. So in general, I would say that the crux of what many organizations are trying to do is to get a superior understanding of the motivations, what drives these people, right? What are they looking for? And all of that in the past has been only based on some transaction data and operating data that they've been able to capture in their interactions with the customers. What's happening now is that there's a lot more data that's available, right? Be it the employees or be it the consumers or be it citizens. There is more touch points. There is more interactions happening, right? And all of the touch points and interactions, it's exploded mainly because of the numerous ways that are now available. Multi-channel approaches are very, very prevalent today. And increasingly, a digital interaction is able to provide a lot more amount of information in comparison to what organizations were used to in the past. And it's really about gathering that data, understanding and interpreting it, right? That's at the heart of how organizations are trying to understand this. So in some sense, while organizations might differ in terms of what products and services they put out and how do they get them in front of their consumer, from an understanding perspective, delving into the psyche and then decoding how consumers and employees and patients and citizens make decisions, I think there is a lot of convergence that's happening as well.
So you say that, right, Rajan? And I guess, you know, the goal of every company, organization, regardless of the industry they're in, or, you know, the sector they're in, or even their, you know, their geo, it's, you know, do things better, faster, more productive, and be more kind of customer centric, right? I mean, those are kind of overarching goals. But do you find that as you go into companies, even if they're in the same industry or vertical, that, you know, this notion of refining data into actionable outcomes and, you know, real customer insights, that there's a level of specificity to those organizations where they need more handholding from companies like LatentView to help guide them along that path? Or is it as simple as, oh yeah, just go get this as a service in an analytics play and away I can go? I mean, how complex is that? And that's going to lead to a second question is, how does LatentView separate themselves from others in that regard?
Sure. Yeah. I think, obviously, it is easier to come up with what I would call a productized or an automated approach. If you're dealing with a very small niche area, and that always tends to be a very small sliver of an organization. I mean, most large organizations, they are very complex entities, right? And with many moving parts and different kinds of requirements overlapping, right? In such a scenario, while organizations have attempted a best of breed approach, saying that let me go pick different products and solutions which can plug and help me address specific things, organizations are also very much interested in getting a more integrated, holistic perspective, right, of the different constituents that I talked about. So if it is customers and the customers are buying different products and services, say a bank, for example, right, I mean, they provide mortgage and loan services. There is consumer and retail banking. I mean, there could be credit cards. I mean, there are so many different plays that a bank has. And more often than not, because of the way organizations have evolved, they would have also created different approaches in different parts of their business units in terms of how they go and acquire customers, how do they understand them, and so on. So a plug-and-play model using best-of-breed approaches of specific products and niche solutions can only go so far, because you're still left with that problem of integrating and building a more holistic perspective of the customer, right? I think analytics provides a new opportunity to accomplish this. In the past, ERP was touted, right, as the panacea to this problem, because that I can get all of the data about the consumers into one place and it allows me to get that integrated view. Yeah. But in sense, that really hasn't been the magic wand, right, that everybody wished for. While the data is in there, the interpretation and the analysis of data was still missing, right? That was still left to the spreadsheets and the small side projects, right, that different business units did on their own, right? What is now possible with multiple data analytics platforms coming out is that you can construct and put together something that can help you get that integrated holistic perspective. Yeah. But that can be a very custom solution that might be required, in the sense that I don't think there are really integrated products and platforms that can take into account the nuances and the contextual sensitivities of every organization. Right? If you need to build something like that, more often than not, it's a ground-up effort, and that is something that an organization would need a strong partner, right, who understands the kind of ecosystem that is there, the tech stacks that are available, debating and deciding between the choices that might be there, you know, whether they go with a certain kind of a product set or a tech stack, or whether they need to do something different, right? And that's where we come into play. I mean, LatentView is technology agnostic. We don't pick a particular product. I mean, we let the client's contextual situation define what is the most optimal technology stack for them. And more often than not, there is also legacy and other considerations that you need to take into account. You cannot just come and report everything, right, that's already there and then put in a new stuff. Data analytics opportunity is that while your back-end systems might be something that's been cobbled together over the last, say, 2 decades or 3 decades, you can still come in and then create a more unifying a platform or a layer on top of that, right, that can pull data from all these different sources, not to mention, right, just your structured data sources like your ERP and operating systems, but also unstructured data, right, from the social media, from the public domain, right, that can all go to inform a superior understanding of your customer. So I think that's the opportunity, and that's where we play. So our differentiator in some sense is our ability to look at the context of the client and then build a platform and the set of analytics on top of that that caters to their specific requirements.
Yeah. Do you find that, Steve, if you had a question, sorry, I'm just going to, as a quick follow on to that. Do you find that the emergence of edge, IoT, you talk about social media platforms, all of these other sources of unstructured data are becoming more and more critical to those customers that, you know, you're helping guide through this process of, you know, better understanding the data? Is that like a becoming a bigger and bigger element to their overall strategies or the importance of your success moving forward?
It is, yeah. I mean, increasingly, I mean, I talked about the drinking from the fire hose point, right, earlier. All of these IoT devices and sensors, right, it means that there's going to be even more data. Today, when I try and understand the consumer, it is more often than not just manifest behavior that I look at, right? What do they shop for? Which shop do they walk into? What do they buy? What is their basket of goods and so on, right? Tomorrow, there is going to be even more data coming from the wearable devices that consumers might be wearing, right? When they walk into the shop, what is their emotional state of mind, right? Is their heartbeat increasing when they see the advert for a particular product, right? What is their state of excitability, right? I mean, there are so many other things that you can delve into. So yeah. In some sense, the amount of data that is going to come in from all these wearables and the IoT devices and the sensors, that is just going to keep on exploding. In the industrial manufacturing context, IoT and sensor data is already in play to a very great extent. I mean, we did work for a European car manufacturer where all the sensors in the cars, right, they were actually giving a whole host of information. But that information, they were looking at it only on a very periodic basis, meaning when the car pulls into a service station, right, they're able to download the data. And really what they were looking to do was, is the design of the car aligned with how I market and advertise the car? And is that aligned with how consumers are actually using the car, right? And the sensor devices actually give you that input because you can analyze the data and see that which features of the car are they most using. I mean, if it promises 0 to 80 miles per hour acceleration in 6 seconds, is that a feature that consumers really appreciate and use it, or is it that they are driving at only 10 miles per hour, right, in traffic conditions? So these are all things that you can look at, and then you can emphasize, de-emphasize, right, the things depending on what really matters for the consumers. We had done similar work for another white goods manufacturer where they were looking at what kind of features they need to engineer into their washing machines, right, into their dishwashers. And a review and analysis of all the Amazon product reviews that were out there, for example, that helps them inform what features are more important, right? So that's the opportunity that is available. I think it'll explode with more devices getting connected into the internet and more sensors becoming available, including the wearables that I talked about. There is going to be even more information, and there is even greater opportunity, right, for us to really go beyond what we today see only as manifest behavior, right? Go yeah. underneath the surface and then try and get a better, superior understanding, right, of what drives purchasing decisions, right? What drives emotional state of mind, and so on.
So let me ask you this. Let's go to the other end of the pipeline. You know, there are many ways to do analytics on data. How much are you starting to see, or are you, the use of deep learning and GPUs in the analysis side of the equation?
I would say, I mean, about 20%, 25% of the work is starting to make use of some fairly advanced capabilities that are emerging and that are out there. But many organizations, we need to understand is that they still need to get a lot of things in place, even from a look back analytics perspective. I mean, this is basically what we call diagnostic or descriptive analytics, right? What happened? Why did it happen? What were the reasons? I think you need to understand and get that historical perspective right before we can move on to the more advanced predictive and prescriptive type of analytics. Mm-hmm. Not say that that one can't happen without the other, but you also realize that deep learning models and all the new techniques that are emerging, they also need quite a bit of data for them to become really good at predicting what they are meant to predict. Mm-hmm. So superior understanding of historicals, to the extent that it is relevant and applicable, right? It is always important. Of course, you can always have these kind of pandemic type events, right, where everything gets thrown out of the window because nothing that's happened in the past can really predict and tell you what's going to happen now. And there are techniques and algorithms that are emerging there as well, right? How can you work with very minimal amount of data, right? Can you make predictions and models work better with not having too many training sets, for example, right? So those are emerging in terms of application as well. I think it is a question of what is it that the organization is focusing on. I mean, at the end of the day, initiatives that an organization undertake, you got to look at like ease of implementation versus what is the return you're going to get for it, right? And that's a standard way by which organizations evaluate how they're going to spend their dollars. And if there are enough low-hanging fruit that are available in terms of just getting many of your basic processes and mechanisms in place, plugging the supply chain gap, figuring out better features and products and better features and functionality in your products. And if these can be done just by doing regular, plain, descriptive diagnostic analytics, I think they should tackle that first before trying to get onto very sophisticated models. So that would be my counsel.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you talk to analysts and technologists, we love to jump on the latest and greatest thing, right? We love to talk about AI in the enterprise. But the reality is we're still trying to understand what to do with all of this data, right? And baby steps. Go ahead, Matt. You had a question.
Yeah. And I know that we're going to be coming around to our time limit, but I want to, kind of following on to what Steve said and something you started with, Rajan, and that is you talk about, you know, as a service analytics, and, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that claim to be as a service, you know, organizations providing analytical tools to companies. But we all know that, you know, if I'm a company that's trying to kind of get my arms around, you know, all of this data that I'm that's suddenly being generated and you know, become and transform from what I was to this, you know, more digitally native company, there's more to it than that, right? And it's a, some of it's hand-holding, some of it is you just, that guide that is walking you through that process and building, helping you build these tools has to have walked in your shoes and kind of understand your business and where, you know, where you're going and all the nuances to your specific organization. Can you, you know, if we gave you, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes to talk to, you know, a company that is, you know, kind of going through the throes of this, you know, understanding their data today, you know, but about what makes not just, you know, not just LatentView, but your team specifically, you know, that they bring in to help them. What separates you? Is it that, you know, you've been through this a bunch of times and you have the tools in your tool? What is it that separates LatentView from everybody else?
Sure. Yeah. This is something that is important to understand and get right. I would talk about, say, two or three aspects. Like, one is the fact that we work a lot more with what I call digital native technology, fintech, e-commerce type of organizations. And that means that they are already swimming in a lot of data, right? Much, much more than what other organizations typically encounter. And therefore, there is a degree of maturity and familiarity that is available, right, in those organizations when it comes to what data is out there and then how can they better understand and consume that data. By partnering and working with organizations which are very digital native, over the last 15 years, we have built a certain amount of comfort and confidence, right, in being able to understand what is it that these firms are looking for, how do they take the data that is available and then build that better understanding, right, that they are striving, and how are they able to then use that understanding to come up with the right kind of products and services, and not to mention, right, the marketing aspects of it, the pricing, the supply chain aspects of it, and so on, right? So that's something that we are able to bring just by having worked with organizations, right, more than a decade, right, in that domain itself. For many of the traditional organizations which are looking to become more connected with their consumers, which are trying to go direct to consumer and which are trying to get onto the digital bandwagon, I think that can be a very, very important help in actually bridging that gap that might take, that they might currently be seeing, right? In terms of how do I put in the kind of mechanisms and the kind of analytics that can help me quickly leapfrog, right, and then get on into the digital domain. I think that's a very important differentiator. I would say that the second one is just the combination of three things that we bring to the table. I mean, there is, of course, as an analytics company, we bring a very solid understanding of the math and the technology, right? That's involved, right? What are the algorithms? Which kind of models and approaches work? And how can you implement it, right? Be it a TensorFlow or be it an Amazon Stack or whether it's Snowflake and so on, right? I mean, it's that's one very important component of what needs to be understood. The second component is what I call the data part of it, right? Meaning that how do you wrangle all the data? How do you get the data? How do you build it into the right platform and ecosystem so that you can then apply the math and the technology that I talked about, right? You need the data in the first place. For a few years, right, when we started out, we were not so much focused on helping build the data ecosystem and the platforms. In fact, much of the work that we did in our earlier years, that assumed that the data was already in place. But in the last few years, we have found that that's a very, very important component that the organizations need to get right. So that's the second thing, right? And we bring that understanding. And the third component is really just the business and the domain understanding, right? I think it's all of this makes sense only if you're able to use it in the context of specific business decisions that the organization needs to make, right? And that business decision can be very different from one organization to another, even if they are all playing in the same industry. It depends on the customers that they are targeting, what segmentation that they are going after, right? All of that matters. So those are the three things that I would say we bring in the right kind of balance: the math and the technology competency, the data understanding, right, and the ability to build the right kind of data architecture and ecosystems, and the business domain part of it, right? These are the three things that we are able to bring to the table. And you need this in good measure for you to figure out what is the analytics roadmap that gels well with the organization strategy, right? And how do you prioritize and execute on the right kind of analytics initiatives to realize, you know, the organization's business goals and strategies? So that's really what I would say are the big differentiators.
And that's, I'll tell you, that's what I really like, our conversations we've had with you. This, that third part is what I think is really kind of a huge differentiator. There's a, you know, having that, it's almost like, it feels like your organization, your company has like a consulting approach built into its DNA, right? And it's that being able to go in and whether you call it business process analysis, whatever you call it, but it's understanding and walking through and being able to be very consultative and very prescriptive with every company, understand their goals, their needs, their gaps, and being able to build that. In addition to the first two, that third one is so darn critical, I think, to companies being successful in their embracing of kind of being a data-driven organization. If you don't have a partner that can help you do that, you know, you can have the best analytics tools in the world, but they're not going to do anything for you. So I think it's better understanding those needs and being able to align all of these tools to help companies get there. That I think really is what impressed me about LatentView.
Absolutely, yeah, completely agree with that.
Yeah. Hey, Steve,
that's a great place to wrap up. What a great conversation, and thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah,
thank you, Steve, and thank you, Matt, for having me on this.
Yeah, thank you, Rajan. Can't wait to talk with you again and hear about some of the great successes you're having out there.